with you, Brother Jerry. Last Sunday, I complained to you about my eyesight, and somebody said I look a little bit more normal now, and I discovered that I now have two pairs of glasses with me, so I don't know how that's going to work, but, you know, as you get older, had these in my coat last Sunday and took the coat off, put it away with the glasses in it, no wonder I couldn't find them, but I don't need them, I guess, so anyhow, I'm glad I look normal. I don't know what normal is. I haven't figured all that out yet, but so glad to be with you. And Gene, I'm constantly blessed by your, I don't know if the word candor is what I want or not, but I want to use something you guys don't understand. You know, I like to use words that nobody knows what they are, and that way I don't know what they mean either, so it doesn't matter. I just love the way you lead. The way you led us, and the way you lead our singing here, I'm so blessed. I really am. And as I sat there and I, you know, I have a hard time singing anymore because I don't know. It's I tell this all the time because I guess I struggle with it, so I have to share it. But I want to sing. I really do. And Gene, I couldn't help it. I had to sing. And my throat held up. It's just as I watched you guys perform up here, and I use the word performance not in a negative way, but in a very beautiful way. And as I did, I thought something that just came to me that, you know, there's so much good here. There is so much good here. I want you to think about that. There's so much good here that it behooves me. It really does. That I would say anything ill about you. My uncle was a gentleman that did a lot of poetry, and he used to send me, I got a whole file of them. My aunt would send them to me, and that was one of the things that I learned from him in his poetic manners, was that he did it differently than that. That's just sort of my own idea, but I want to say to you this morning that I really feel blessed to have been here. I know it's been a struggle, and I know it's been a hard time. I know that. You think it's been tough for you. I'd like to just tell you that it's been tough. But it's okay. It's all right, people, because I thought of this, you know. Have you ever thought into the fact that God is answering your prayer? How many of you have ever asked God that you would like to be strong and grow in your Christian life? And you recognize Jesus as the King of Kings, and all these things that we verbalize, and then all these awful things happen, and we can't figure out why. Like, you know, you get water when you don't. No, thank you. Appreciate that. But it's so often that God is answering our prayers, and we can't understand why these things are happening, and it all the time is God is saying. And we're just not experiencing it. We're in a mess, and we, at least we think we are, and God is trying to help us grow. He wants to help us get where we're wanting to go. Can be kind of tough. My text this morning is taken out of Luke 18. And as I begin my text, I want to... How many of you can see this? See it in the back? Not sure. What's it look like to you in the back? Scribble. All right. That's one thing it looks like. By the way, Leo, I'm so delighted to have you in the audience this morning. Leo and I have some special connection here. We both were holding trusses for a while. That's pretty special. I know you don't understand that. You see that? I like the way you guys look at this. That's why I do it. What do you think it is? What does it look like?
Scribble.
Scribble? Okay. Is that the best you can do?
A mess.
Is it what?
A
A mess.
Yeah.
That sunshine. Does.
Do what?
Sunshine.
Sunshine. Oh, yeah. Which could be with a cloud over it. You are so right. You're about to make me cry. Now, there's a reason why I share this. Two reasons. Actually, I had it upside down. See, now it's going to make more sense. You get it right side up. This happened in church. Now, there's another way to describe that. Could be boredom. Ever been bored? Ever been bored in church? Preacher ever bore you? You don't have to answer that, please. I don't want to get in trouble with your preacher. But that's what happened. My little granddaughter was sitting beside me in church. She doesn't normally go to church. But she was in church that morning between Grandma and I. And she asked me for a piece of paper, and I had one in my Bible, and I gave it to her, and one in my pen, and she was over there drawing, and all of a sudden she just went like this all over the picture. Well, and she said some things like, Jesus is real. And then she says, I love God and Jesus. She's just a little top. So I stuck it, she gave it to me, and I put it in my Bible and was going to take it home and throw it in the trash. I have used this in a lot of places. I've been all over the country using this. I'd like to tell you this morning, that's sometimes how you feel. I felt this way already. Frustrated. Exasperated. Bored. Not sure what life is about. Not sure what to do. And so you just, all of a sudden, you want to sit down with a piece of paper and just start making lines. You ever feel that way? Guess what I'm going to talk about this morning is prayer. That's quite a way to begin a subject on prayer, isn't it? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Well, does life? Have you ever been in a position in life where it just felt like that? Luke 18 would help us a little bit on the fact of some of those people felt the same way. So I want to talk about prayer. And I'm going to read, first of all, Luke 18, 1 through, actually goes 1 through 42, but that's pretty long, so we won't read that much. Let's begin, if you have a Bible. I read from King James, and I'm kind of like the... I heard a guy, a minister, say that he gave his text, and he said, all of you, let's turn your cell phones to such and such a time, a place. And so maybe I should do that this morning. Turn your cell phones to Luke 18. In the times we live, I don't know how to do this. I mean, I don't have it on my phone, but I know a lot of people are using their phones as Bibles, and that's okay. I don't want to be critical, but I still think it's something about carrying your Bible to church. That's not my subject. We're talking about prayer, aren't we? Yeah. Okay, so you understand. So Luke 18, I'm reading from the King James. If you're reading from something else, I hope you can follow, but it may be difficult. But it says, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God nor regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. I don't think much of each one, but he said, because of this widow, she troubling me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she wearies me. And the Lord said, hear what this unjudge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spoke this parable unto them, unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men, and I'm going to skip that because it's very familiar to us, is two men who prayed. One was righteous and the other was whatever, and we see what happens. And then we go to verse 15. And they brought unto him infants that he would touch them, but when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not, for this such is the kingdom of God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter in. Stop there because I have a lot of stuff I want to do as I think about prayer. I want to ask you this question. How often have you prayed and how much good has it done for you? And have you, how many prayers, has it made a difference in your life? Now, I know I ask some dumb questions, but I want you to think about the fact that how often we pray, and we just pray, and there's no significance about it at all, and we often pray, and we wonder if it did anything, or how far it went up. You know, one of the things, advantages of your sanctuary, it doesn't have to go very far. If it's not going to go all the way, it doesn't have to go far, because your ceilings are low, and that's helpful, I guess. I don't know. Well, does that matter? It's kind of how we look at things. Now, actually, what I've just read to you out of this chapter in Luke 18, there are actually six sermons that can be preached out of this particular lesson that I just gave you. Now, I know I see already some fear in your eyes that I'm going to do that, which I'm not. But there are six that can be done if you choose to do so. There was the preacher who was a well-known pastor who always began his sermon by praying this. He said this, that God, if these people knew me as you know me, they would not listen to what I'm going to say. And sometimes I kind of feel that way, that if you actually knew my life and knew me and my heart as God knows it, you probably wouldn't stay here this morning. You'd probably go home. But I'm glad that you chose to stay. I'm glad you're doing this to help in this time of worship. But first of all, I want you to pick up with me some thoughts about this thing of prayer. He said, he encourages us in this parable that we ought to pray. Well, we do. I have no doubt that we do a lot of praying. And I suppose, if I would be guessing, that in the last year, this church has done a lot of praying. A lot of crying out to God. A lot of seeking. A lot of fasting. A lot of things. And you probably found yourself in a predicament at times wondering if God is going to answer your prayer. Now, I don't know I don't know. I kind of think there's possibly a way to say yes to that, but he says, he says you shouldn't faint. So the idea there is, how many times have I gotten discouraged by the fact that prayers, pray, and it just doesn't seem to help. And that what I do then is I faint. Faint means discouraged. I become faint-hearted. I kind of give up on it. I sort of think, well, it doesn't help anyhow. It doesn't matter. But Jesus is saying to us, don't go there. You continue to pray. Keep on praying. Look at the example that he gives us, and I want to say there are widows in this audience, and I want to say God is on your side. But how many times have you felt that? If I was to say to you, or if I was to talk to you privately, and I would ask you, how many times have you actually felt that God was on your side? He is. And I know you would admit to that. And I know you would inscribe to that. But how about the loneliness? How about the pain, the hurt, the nights, the times that you just feel so alone. And then you pray. And Jesus has said that he's going to be there. God said he puts borders around the widows. And I want you to pick up on this, because it was that he gives us the example of this widow who went to this judge and just did not give up. There's something about that that I think we ought to pay attention to. That the widow here was one who the judge said he didn't care nothing about God. He didn't care anything about man. He didn't care about anything. But I'll tell you what, he paid attention to that widow. And he gave her what she wanted. Well, I don't know what all that means, but I think it has a lot to do with her persistence. Now I'm going to tell you a story about this lady who had three girls, and two of the girls were just, they were just the girls that you like, the kind of girls you want to have. It just perfect. They were just absolutely. Then the one girl was like, she was rowdy. She drank. She was living in a permissive society of sexuality and a whole nine yards. Just being a girl that the mother could not be proud of. And she prayed and prayed and begged God that God would hear and he would take care of her. He would bring her back. He would fix her and do all these things. And finally, She just wouldn't listen, and so as time went on, she finally said to God, she said, I just can't handle this. I know you've done the same thing. If you have teenagers, you've probably done the same thing. You said to God, I can't deal with this anymore. I'm going to give this child to you. You deal with it. Don't put up your hand, but I know that all of us have somewhere done that. We've done it. You've done it. There are other people who have done it. And they do it all the time. Well, this lady, she did that. She said, God, I cannot handle this. I'm going to give this child to you. It wasn't long, the child came home pregnant. And she said, God, I didn't give you the child that this would happen. That wasn't my reason. I didn't want this to happen. I didn't want this child to be like this. Now what are you going to do? Was her prayer answered? It wasn't long. There was a decision that had to be made. We're going to keep the child? Are we going to abort it? Are we going to adopt it? What are we going to do with this baby? It's not the baby's fault. It's the mother's fault. The mother, the daughter decides. She decides it's time for a change. She gave her heart to the Lord. She became a Christian. And she decided to keep the baby, and she gave God the glory, the honor. This doesn't make sense, I know that, but it's a story. And she said, this baby I will keep as a memorial of my acceptance of Jesus in my life. And I will raise this child for God. Was her prayer answered? It sort of seems like it might have been. Now it's kind of tough. When we go there, it's really tough when we find ourselves in these type of settings. Let's drop to the next one, the little children, the anointing. Some time ago, it's been several months ago, there's a couple in our church who had a child. They knew baby, and the baby, her head was like a football. It was narrow and long. And babies are not supposed to have that. They're not supposed to be born with a football head. That's not good. That's dangerous. And so the doctor said something has to happen. We have to do surgery. We have to fix that. Well, this caused a lot of anxiety, a lot of frustration for the parents. Very, very difficult. And so they called upon the church. And they called upon the brotherhood. They called upon the pastors. We need your help. Will you anoint our baby? Oh. Okay. We're going to get into something here. Could be controversial, but that's all right. You can whoop me after it's all over. I'll take it. I've been done before, and I can handle it. That's a pretty big statement, isn't it? That's all right. This child is, what, a couple of months old, less than 6 months, And we're going to do an anointing. We have been kind of like a fill-in grandparent to the child. And so naturally, I'm not the pastor there. I'm not part of the leadership team. I don't have time to be there to do that, but they want us to be there. My wife and I, we said we would be there. So on whatever night it was that we gathered at the home for this anointing, and I go there thinking I'm just going to be the grandpa. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to mind my own business. I'm not going to bother doing anything. I'm just here. And so the pastors come together and the couple is sitting here and they do their thing. They do their scripture. They do their whatever we do. And the lead pastor looks at me and says, and happened to be my son, and that's dangerous too, of course, when your son is in charge. And he looked at me and he said, "Dad," and he handed me the bottle. He said, "Here, take over." And I'm going to tell you, people, that was a moment of decision for me. In front of me was this little baby that needed healing. Jesus said, "Bring the children to me." And I'm going to tell you, people, that was a moment. We gathered around this couple. I knelt in front of that baby and I anointed that child. I cannot describe to you what went on at that moment as I put my hands on that child. It is indescribable for me to do that. I would like to. Mom and Dad sitting here, we prayed for them. We prayed for this child. We thought perhaps next morning that head would be round like it's supposed to be, like a basketball, not like a football. Well, it's not even like a basketball, is it? But it wasn't. It wasn't. The mother had to deal with this. The baby went to the hospital. We were there doing surgery. The doctor said the baby will stay 3 or 4 days, whatever it was. We were okay with that. Surgery went perfect. It went just absolutely. The doctor just couldn't get over it. How well the surgery went. The next morning, we get a phone call saying, "We're coming home. The baby's been released from the hospital." Let me ask you a question. Was our prayer answered? Did that anointing help? Absolutely. Did it work? Sure did. The doctor said, "I am totally amazed. I just never had this. I've done many surgeries like this, and this is the first one that I've ever seen this happen to." I have nothing to brag about. I have nothing to boast about. But the fact that Jesus did exactly what he said, "Bring them to me. Bring the children to me." Very important. I think it's about time for me to close. I want to share some stories yet for the children. Children, I have 2 stories for you. How many of you children have pets? Got one over here. Aha! Lots of pets. Thank you. Well, whether it's a pet, cat, or a dog, or a duck, or whatever it is, there's another one back there. Pets all over the place. You church, you're full of pets here. I often don't get that many hands when I say this. Well, this is about a pet kitty. and Garfield. So there's two stories. The pastor had this pet kitty, a little cat, and it skinned up. You know, kitties do this. Cats have a bad habit of rounding up a tree. And this little kitty, skinned up this little sapling of a tree. But he was too high, and the preacher couldn't reach him. And he's up there. You know how they do. They get up there, and then they get scared. And they're up there, meow, 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 you know, like they do. And so the preacher's thinking, well, how am I going to? You know, some preachers, they really got their act together. This guy was one of those. And he's like, what am I going to do? How am I going to get this down? So he thinks, I know what I'll do. I'll take my car out there, and I'll tie a rope to the tree and tie it to my car, and I'll pull the tree down, and I'll get my kitty. You ever heard the story? No? Okay. I'll go say it to my students. I'm like, shouldn't you do? And so he hooks up his car to the tree, and he's pulling, looking back, and he's pulling. The tree's coming down. It's almost where he wants it, and he thinks, man, I can't quite reach it. So he pulls just a little bit more, and the rope breaks, and the tree goes flinging back, and the kitty flies off and disappears. He doesn't know what to do. This was his pet. And he's crying and he's lamenting and he's sad and he goes down the street and he goes over here and he's all over the town looking for this cat. And he can't find his cat. Well, so one day he's in a grocery store. And he's shopping. And he comes up behind one of his parishioners who's headed for the cash register, and she has cat food in her basket. And he looks at her and he says, ma'am, I thought you didn't like cats. I thought you hated cats. What are you doing with the cat food? Oh, my, she said, preacher, you'll never believe this story. He said, what happened? She said, my little girl wanted a kitty. She wanted a pet. And I said, no, you can't have a pet. And she begged and she begged and she begged and she begged and begged. And I got so tired of her begging for this cat. So I said, honey, you pray. And if God gives you a cat, you can have it. And she said, you will not believe what I'm going to tell you. She said, my little girl ran out in the yard, was on her knees praying. And as she was praying, a cat fell in front of her. You might want to get you a cat. God likes cats too. I know because I had a personal experience of a cat. A little kitty came to the trust shop. Trust shop is right behind our house. Sometimes that's good and sometimes it's not so good. Sometimes we wish we were 100 miles away from it. Sometimes we wish we were 1,000 miles away from it. And then the next time we're glad to be there. So, you know, it's that kind of stuff. But it's okay. So this trust shop's right behind us, and this little yellow cat came to the shop. He was a little bitty thing, and the employees adopted him. It's a him, and I guess Garfield must be yellow because they named him Garfield. Well, Garfield is extremely spoiled. He knows that when they eat lunch, he gets lunch too. And when they are there, he gets petted, he gets held, he gets played with. Well, he's done growed up now, and he's pretty good sized cat, and he's the mascot there. He owns the place. We don't mess with him. And so when the shop is not in operation, I'm close enough that he comes to my house and wants to be taken care of and thinks that he should have the same type of attention. And of course, I don't give it to him. Then he gets on my truck and he climbs around on my truck, and I catch him and I told him, I said, Garfield, if you don't stay off my truck, I'm going to shoot you. Well, I didn't help much. So one day, I'm working on my motorhome. I had parked there in front of the house, and I was up on a ladder, big old 6-foot ladder. You know, a 74-year-old man on a 6-foot ladder is kind of dangerous. But I'm up here fixing a light, and there's two screws, and it's the only two screws that are available. And I was putting a new light on. And, you're a little shaky up here, and I dropped a screw. Oh, that scared me. I mean, I had the fear of God in me right then and there. I need a screw. I can't fix my light. So I get down, and I'm looking for this screw. I can't find this screw. I know. I saw the way it went. Now, you men know how that works. You do that all the time. You drop something, you know where it is, and you go down to get it, and I can't find it. Well, not thinking that it was a stainless steel screw, I go in the shop and get a magnet. I'm going to find it with a magnet. So I'm out here. Well, you know, stainless and magnets don't go together. So I'm out here. Well, that didn't help none. I'm worrying and working and working. And I'm just like, oh, pray. That's the next thing. You know, everything else fails. Now we pray. I said, well, God, you know, I need this screw. I really need a screw bad. And could you help me? Is there no way you can help me find this screw? Well, I'm looking. Well, Garfield had been there. And I looked over, and he was about as far as me as that wall. And he was over there rolling around doing his dumb stuff, as cats do. And I don't know what made me do this. I really don't. I looked over there, and just for, actually for dumb, it'll teach us, don't be so dumb. I said, Garfield, why don't you come over here and help me find this screw? He did. He got on his feet. He walked over where I was on my knees, and he come right over there in front of me, laid down in front of me, and right beside him was the screw. Does God make a difference in your life in prayer? Can you think of ways that God has done things to you? Think about it. Life sometimes is kind of lonely, difficult. It's complicated. But church, I want you to know that God loves this church. I know you've been through some stuff. And He hasn't forsook you. He loves you. Jesus said, I told you 2 weeks ago, Jesus said, I will build my church. I don't always like the way He builds it. But that's what He said. I want to let Him build His church. And I want to be able to be used in the kingdom of building His church. Church, be encouraged. God is here. God is with you. God is helping you. He is answering your prayer in ways that you may have missed. So be aware. He is here. I know He's here. I don't know you as well as some. You don't know me that well. And therefore, when I come here, I have to operate pretty much on that which I sense, feel, and be careful about that. I have to be extremely careful with that as well. But I'll just say this in this closing. I've walked with this group, not with this group. Ooh. I've walked with the core group and the original group right from its beginning. So my involvement with Shiloh started at the Shiloh Community Center a long, long time ago. And it's such an honor to be here this morning and to share with you. And one more thing. I'm getting kind of like the old preachers are, you know. One more thing. We'll run out after a while. It's okay. The reason that I came, or that one of us felt like we should be here this morning, was not because we don't trust you, or that we feel like we have to be here, or that we have to preach. But we felt that after that meeting last night, that it wouldn't be fair that we would just up and leave, and leave you with that feeling of being abandoned. So we wanted one of us to be here, and that's the four men that have been involved in the process. We're in agreement to that. And I actually thought Bob was going to be here. I wasn't planning to be here. But my plans changed, and so you had to endure me instead. Perhaps Bob will be back in a couple of weeks. We hope so. But may the Lord grant you many, many blessings. We talked about grace this morning. And I'm going to tell you, grace, you need it. It's to empower you to go forward. And I believe you are ready. I believe you are in that mode to move forward. Let God be God. Don't endure wrong. We're not saying that. But move forward. You have what you need. God is with you. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the time we've had this morning, for your blessing us. You have been so gracious to us in so many ways. And we thank you for the way you answer things, the way you answer our prayers, the way you lead us, the way you bless us, the way you take care of things, the way you look after when we don't know where we're at and when we don't know where we're going. But you have provided for us all those things, given us so much to thank you for, and so many gifts, and so many blessings. Thank you for everything. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.